The story of the gold rush of the mid-19th century is a pivotal part of the California story, but it is mostly a white story and has been told that way. There were African Americans arriving with the crowds. They just don't get mentioned much. A Mount Shasta resident is working to change that. Mark Oliver is the creator of a program called Voices of the Golden Ghosts, part theater, part lecture. It will take the stage tomorrow night at 7 at the Shasta College Theater in Redding. Mark Oliver, filmmaker and author, will join us on the phone right now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing very well. Patricia Lord is with us as well. She's the former director of the Shasta Historical Society, which has been a partner in this process as well. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Mark, this is not your first work to uncover stories of the region that easily could have been lost or overlooked. Tell us about your earlier project, From the Quarters to Lincoln Heights.
Yeah, that was that started out as a oral history project, interviewed over 60 people from the, mostly the Weed and McLeod, Mount Shasta area, and we were recording the history of the migration of African Americans to the logging towns, and how those towns were segregated according to race. And so we pretty much focused on the African American experience, moving from the 20s, the Great Migration, into the Civil Rights Movement, and some of the changes that happened in those towns during that time, to the first African-American teacher, James Langford, who co-produced that. And we turned that into a documentary, and that, you know, won some awards in Europe and on the East Coast, and it's been seen by thousands of people. And previously, James had written his thesis on that, but other than that, that story was just kept in private homes, so it was really interesting to get that out to the public.
I'm struck by talk of segregation in logging towns. These can't have been very big towns, and yet they still took steps to make sure that the races did not mix?
Yeah, because the, those companies, a lot of them, say they came from the South. They, when the lumber industry kind of died out in the South, they moved out west in, say, turn of the century, and, you know, there wasn't a lot of machinery and things like that taking down forests yet, so that's when the logging industry really took off, and they needed good, dedicated workers, and they just shipped them out on trains. Some companies brought the factory and the workers and, you know, built a town. They did that in Oregon as well and in Arizona. And so Quincy in the Sierras, Quincy and McLeod was a big town like that, and Weed as well.
So a couple of examples of big lumber towns where there were some African-Americans working. Patricia Lord, I want to turn to you in your work in historical efforts around the region. How extensive or not are the records of African-Americans in the 19th century, in particular in the northern part of the state?
That's a great question, actually. That was one of the biggest struggles we had with this project, is there are very few records. When we initially started talking about putting this project together, we knew it would be a challenge. We had hoped that we would find some records that had yet to be reviewed or researched. But what we found was essentially that there really is a scarcity of record of the experience of African Americans, at least this far north in California. And so that's one of the reasons we developed the project the way that we did, was we knew we were going to have to fill in some of those gaps in the record.
Is this sort of like trying to, I mean, it seems like there are at least pictures of people of Chinese heritage in the region, and certainly we talked about the Chinatown in Wairika on a show segment a few months ago, so it sounds like there's at least knowledge of that. Is there even less knowledge of African Americans, though?
I would say at least anecdotally, yes. I feel like there is, and part of the reason that we, I guess, I hypothesize for that is that a lot of the African-Americans that came this far north into Shasta and Siskiyou counties kind of disappeared into the wilderness, as a lot of people who come this far north still do today, that they are in some ways intentionally trying to not be found.
So, Mark, as you turned your attention from logging towns to African Americans and the gold rush, what kinds of sources could you turn to for information?
Well, you know what, I got inspired by this project when I was doing research up at the College of the Siskiyous, going through the census when I was working on From the Quarters to Lincoln Heights, and I just started going farther back into the census, and I found these names of African American people in the census from 1850, 1852, 1860, in places like Scott Valley, in Yreka, and I was just curious. That was 2010. I thought, well, huh, that's funny. Those people aren't there now. And so then I started looking for some reading materials, and there is a classic book, and there's been some new books written in the last couple years that are overviews of African Americans in the Gold Rush, but nothing up here at all. So then I found some mine sites. And so we found about 8 mine sites and one, I guess I would call it a village, out on the Salmon River. So there was evidence that people were here, and but the photo issue is pretty interesting because, like you said, there's a lot of pictures of Chinese. There's 2 photographs of African American miners. And those are in the California State Library.
Two in the whole archive?
If somebody has another one, I'd like to know about it, but that's pretty much it. Well, logging was the same way. You don't have pictures of African-American people working in the logging mills either. Something that's... on a whim, a teacher of my kids knew we were working on the project, and she said, "Oh, you know, my mom's a archaeologist, and you should check out Hoopersville in this an archive.org. This book, there's a book written in 1880 called The History of the Siskiyou County, and from 1850 to 1855, and you kind of get the idea reading this book that the guy just rode around on a horse and asked people if they knew any old stories." Lo and behold, there's 8 references to Negroes in that book. And they're kind of almost tales, or you can imagine somebody sitting on a porch remembering what their grandpa said about some, you know, black miner doing this and that. And that so far is the only written information aside from the black newspapers that came out in about 1862 out of San Francisco, the Appeal, Pacific Appeal. And there's just really scarce, you know, they might mention the Salmon River, or they might mention that there were, you know, 40 blacks in Yreka in 1862 who wanted to subscribe to the paper. But other than that, there's... we haven't found any stories at all, any, you know, diaries or any information like that.
We're talking to Mark Oliver here on the Jefferson Exchange. He's from Mount Shasta. He created a theater performance and lecture to be held tomorrow evening at Shasta College Theater in Reading called Voices of the Golden Ghosts, about African Americans in the Gold Rush era in Northern California. We also have with us Patricia Lohr, the former director at the Shasta Historical Society. You can join the conversation here on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Patricia, is there any better documenting of the Sierra portion of the Gold Rush and African Americans there?
When we were researching this project, we drew heavily on some research and writing that had been done for more southern areas of California. And that was really one of the clues, too, that we had, that we knew there was a lot more information and activity up here, just that it was not preserved. So I think we have a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, but more information about mining activities and African Americans in California, in San Francisco, in Sacramento, and then certainly further south towards LA.
I have to wonder if the digitizing of old records is helping historical research at all, in the sense that people might be opening up boxes and books that they haven't looked at in ages and digitizing the material therein.
Oh, absolutely, without question. One of the reasons we were able to find the information that we did find was that a lot of the old newspaper articles at the time have been digitized and placed on the web. You can imagine what the amount of work that would have had to have gone into this project if we had to physically go to every historical society, museum, archive across California and, you know, some literally through their records. It would have been an insurmountable amount of research and work that we would have had to do.
So, Mark Oliver, I mean, a lot of research, obviously, but not a lot of findings, as you already indicated. So as you constructed Voices of the Golden Ghosts, what approach did you have to take?
Well, since I knew we were up against that wall, the way I kind of conceptualized this, because it's a community-based project, so the idea... We went for some funding through Cal Humanities, and the idea was to activate the community, have the community participate in telling the story of the African American experience. So basically, we had got our groups together in Redding and Mount Shasta, and I passed out all the literature I could find on the subject, and you know, hope people would read it and get interested in some stories that are in some of these books. And so then we took some of these stories and we took the issues of the day, the fugitive slave law, things like that, and we just turned those into kind of personal stories and made some short historical vignettes based on what was going on culturally for African Americans and politically at that time.
So you mentioned fugitive slave law. So the people who came to California in the gold rush with dark skin were a mix, it sounds like, of slaves and free African Americans?
That's the thing that people really don't know about California, is it was a free state, but if you owned some people and you were from Georgia and you wanted to go mine gold, you were welcome to bring those people with you and have them work for you. And the fugitive slave law, that was in the whole country, and then California adopted it, and that was specifically, I guess, to catch runaway slaves who you could catch somebody and bring them back to bring them to court or bring them back to their owner if their owner was looking for them. And the problem with that was that at the time, and there's documented issues, I think Archie Lee is a famous case, where people of color couldn't testify against a white person in court. So if somebody came and grabbed you and said, hey, you're a runaway slave, I'm going to return you to your master, you didn't have a lot of recourse because you couldn't really say anything.
Oh, wow. So, there's no legal rights whatsoever. So, all right. So, again, Voices of the Golden Ghosts tomorrow night at 7 at the Shasta College Theater. I want to know, Patricia Lord, when you do ventures like this and put historical stuff out there where there's not a great wealth of information, if it often then can engender other people to come out and say, hey, that's not quite the way I heard the story, and then that can lead you in a new direction to search for more stuff.
Absolutely. And to an extent, that's what we're hoping will happen. One, we're hoping that this project will address some of the misconceptions we all have about African American experience in California. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, California was a free state. And that's kind of the extent to which we understand the early African American experience here in California. But that is almost like a false sense of like, oh, well, you know, that explains what their experience would have been, that this is a free state and we don't need to explore this anymore. And so we are hoping to address those misconceptions that we all have about our state's history, our country's history, and the African-American experience here. And we're also hoping that people will see this and say, you know, I have this bit of information that I'm not sure you're aware of. And so we're also asking, I think, in a very real sense for people, if you have information about the early African-American experience, particularly in Shasta and Siskiyou counties, please let us know. We are looking to flesh out the historical record, and we can't do it all ourselves.
So let your historical society know. The Shasta Historical Society gave some support to Voices of the Golden Ghosts, as did California Humanities. Performance tomorrow night at 7 at the Shasta College Theater. Patricia Lord is the former director of the Shasta Historical Society. Mark Oliver created the show. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.